Well, I appreciate the opportunity to be here to fellowship with you, to study God's Word, and see what He has for us. If you will, would you please turn to Philippians chapter 3 and 1 Corinthians chapter 11. This is a Bible study. We're to rightly divide the Word of truth. We're to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And when I say rightly dividing the word of truth, I'm talking about a 1611 King James Bible. I do not condone, and I do not back any Bible that's not a 1611 King James Bible, because every one of them has falsehoods and omissions and changes in it that God did not say. So, If I offend you, I'm sorry about that, but I don't apologize to you, because my job is to make you see what God said, not what man said about God. And that's what we intend to do. And if you will, look in.
Let me go ahead. Everybody on the internet now, this is Percy Peters out of Mobile. He is a great grace preacher, and we're so privileged to have Percy come up and preach for us this Wednesday night. So.
Appreciate that. Appreciate the introduction. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 17, Paul said, "Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as you have us for an example, reason, for many walk, of whom I have told you often, now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ." Beloved, I talk to a lot of people, and they tell me, "Well, you believe in following man, we believe in following Jesus." Well, I hope to prove to you in this hour of Bible study here that you do not believe in following Jesus if you say so. If you do what He tells you to do, it's impossible for you to follow Him in His earthly ministry in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1. "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." Well, now, if I figure out how Paul followed Christ, I know, according to the book of Acts, go to Acts and take Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. In Acts chapter 9, verse 1, "And Saul," and you'll find in Acts 13, verse 9, that Saul is also called Paul. So we're talking about following the Apostle Paul as he followed Christ. In Acts 9, verse 1, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughters against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus. Suddenly there shined around about him a light from heaven. He fell to the earth, heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? He said, I am Jesus. And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecuted. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." Now, the Lord tells him what He has for him to do. Go to Acts 13. Acts 13. Now, I know that the Apostle Paul was sent by the Holy Spirit. Now, Acts 13, verse 1. "Now there were at the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that is called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene and Manium, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, Separate me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them." Go to John and take John chapter 13 and John chapter 14. John chapter 13. I believe in doing what Paul told me to do. Compare spiritual things with spiritual. I don't compare my Bible by what somebody writes about the Bible. I compare what they write by what the Bible says. You understand? Now,
amen.
John 13, look at verse 20. Verily, verily, and if you have red letter, they tell me that's official. But I believe they were words by the Lord, you understand? But some of these red letter ones, they say, well, this really makes it official. So if you got a red letter Bible, you'll see it's red. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. Now, I got to find out, was Paul sent? Well, we just read in Acts 13 that the Holy Spirit says, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I've called them. Go to John chapter 14. Now, I may be talking to somebody, you believe in following Jesus. Let's just see if you do. I'm going to put you to the test, or at least the Bible is. Now, in John 14, verse 12, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Now, maybe I'm talking to somebody, maybe you're not in here, but maybe you're listening on the Internet or tuning in on the Internet. Don't get mad and turn off before we get through here now. Hang in there with us. Maybe you believe in following Jesus. Now, let's read the verse again. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me. Now, listen, we're talking about people that believe on the Lord. He told them something. Look what he told them.
Okay.
The works that I do shall he do also.
Yep,
he does. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Now, let's see some of the works that Jesus Christ did. Turn to Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7. Now, if you believe in following Jesus, he said, if you believe on me, the works that I do shall you do also, and greater works than these. Now, let's look at some of Jesus Christ's work. In John chapter 7, go to verse, give me just a minute here. Luke, what did I say, John? I apologize, yeah. Luke chapter 7. I'm bad about my mind getting tangled up, so it runs too fast sometimes. I have to slow her down. And in Luke chapter 7, verse 11, it came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and much people. Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and said unto her, weep not. And he came, touched the briar, and then they that bare him stood still, and he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak. Now listen to me. Don't play games with the Lord. You either believe this book, or you're going to have to get you a new translation that lies about this. Did God Almighty tell you that if you believe on me, the works that I do shall you do greater? Did Jesus Christ raise the dead? He just said he did. Verse 15, and he that was dead sat up and began to speak. I challenge you, if you know anybody that believes in following Jesus, that can raise the dead. Y'all know anybody that can do that? There was a man in North Carolina. I won't call no names. Years ago, his son died. This man was a preacher. They put him in the back of another preacher, told this story. I heard him with my own ears, so I know it's a true story. The man put him in the back of a pickup. They rode him all over town. They laid hands on him, prayed over him. Finally, the authorities had to make them bury that boy. They could not raise him from the dead. Now, at least you think these people didn't have this ability and this power. Go to Acts chapter 9. Go to Acts chapter 9. You see, I got a bad habit of just believing this Bible means what it says.
Amen.
In Acts chapter 9, verse 36. Now, this is the Apostle Peter. Now, there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. It came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. For as much as Lydda was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to him. Then Peter arose, went with them. When he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping, showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. But Peter put them all forth, knelt down, and prayed, and turned unto the body, said, Tabitha, arise. You got any idea what Tabitha did? No. Tabitha got up. Beloved, people that believed on the Lord Jesus Christ could do the same works the Lord did and do greater. Look what he, in the middle part of verse 40. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. Go to Luke chapter 6. Go to Luke chapter 6. Verse 46. Luke 6, 46. Why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Now that's a challenge to you. Any people may be listening in or watching on the internet. You believe in following Jesus? You call him Lord, Lord? Well, won't you do what he tells you to do? You that believe in teaching Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John to your congregation, why don't you just challenge yourself and do what he said? Y'all want to see some of the things that Jesus told these people to do? Go to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. In Luke chapter 12, verse 22. And he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, neither for the body, what you shall put on. Now, y'all don't know anybody that don't go to work to make a living to feed themselves, do you? Do you? Unless they're on welfare. And welfare in this country is wrong.
Amen.
God Almighty said if a man won't work, neither should he eat. He didn't say if he couldn't work. He said if he won't work, neither should he eat. Amen. Well, that's contrary to what you're reading here. Now, watch what he says, verse 23. The life is more than meat, the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn. God feedeth them. How much more are you better than the fowls? And which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? If you then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take your thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spend not, and yet I say unto you that Solomon all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the grass which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more would he clothe thee, O ye of little faith? And seek ye not what you shall eat, or what you shall drink, neither be ye of a doubtful mind, for all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that you have need of these things, but rather seek ye the kingdom of God. Well, beloved, when they seek the kingdom of God, it ain't a coming till after the tribulation. The rapture of the church, the body of Christ, that was started with the Apostle Paul, with the salvation of Paul. Paul's the first member in the church, the body of Christ. The church, the body of Christ, didn't start in Acts 2. It didn't start in Acts 1. It started in Acts 9 with the salvation of the Apostle Paul. Paul was the first member in the church, the body of Christ.
Amen.
And you know how Paul got in? Paul got in by the gospel that was delivered to him. He said, I received that which you also received. How did Christ die for our sins, was buried, and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures? Paul received that on the road to Damascus in Acts 9. Now, verse 31, but rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom, sell that you have. Huh? Oh, come on, preacher man, if you listening, do you teach your congregation to sell that they got? Look what he said, sell that you have. Give alms, provide yourselves bags which wax not old, or treasure in heaven that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, nor moth corrupted. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Go to Luke 18. Luke 18. Why I follow Apostle Paul? Because I can't follow the Lord Jesus Christ in His earthly ministry. He didn't intend for me to. He intended for me to follow my apostle. And I'm going to show you who my apostle is before this hour's up. Now, in Luke chapter 18, verse 18. And a certain ruler asked him, saying, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Well, that's a good question. Let's just see what the Lord says to this man. And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor thy father and mother. He said, all these have I kept from my youth up. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, yet lackest thou one thing, sell all that thou hast. How much did he tell him to sell?
All.
Does all mean all?
Yes.
It sure does. Sell all that thou hast and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. Go to Acts chapter 2. Now, there's a denominational system in the world, and I won't call your name, but you know who you are. They get the doctrine out of Acts chapter 2. And they don't believe what the book says. You know, that's why they got to get them a new translation. Acts chapter 2. Peter is preaching. There's not a woman in the context. There's not a Gentile in the context. Peter is preaching to Israel, the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Remember that term, lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's going to be important in just a minute. Now, Peter preached to these people that they by wicked hands crucified the Lord, but God hath raised him up. Now, verse 41. Then they, that's the people that he's preaching to. He's not preaching to Gentiles in this age, beloved. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added to them about 3,000 souls, and they continued. Just don't stop there now. A lot of people stop right there. They don't know what to do with it. And I think about like when my mom used to tell me to get the broom and sweep the floor. Well, I'd pick the rug up and sweep the dirt under the rug and hide it. People that preach Acts chapter 2, they will not preach the rest of it. They can't handle it, so they just sweep it on the rug and let it go. That's why most of their people don't know what the Bible says. Verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers. Fear came upon every soul. Many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. and all that believed were together, had all things common, sold their possessions and goods, parted them to all men as every man had need, and they continued daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Now watch verse 47 closely. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Listen, beloved, these people that got water baptized ain't saved until the second coming, and they got to endure to the end. I praise God that I'm in the dispensation of grace because the Lord Jesus Christ endured for me.
Amen.
I don't have to endure to the end. I'm already saved. I'm already sealed, and I can't lose my salvation. Now, that may be some of y'all just turned the internet off. But you can't lose your salvation. You're sealed until the day of redemption unless you believe in vain. And I believe we got millions of vain believers in this world today. I believe there are denomination after denomination that believe that Jesus Christ was crucified, was buried, and rose again the third day, but they are not trusting that for their salvation. They're trying to fake it. You're a vain believer. You know where a vain believer is going to wind up? In hell. You don't want to go there. Go to Acts chapter 4. Same preacher. Acts chapter 4. Same preacher. Same bunch of people. Verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost and spake the word of God with boldness. The multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that all of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands and houses sold them, brought the pieces of the prices of the things that were sold, laid them down at the apostles' feet. Distribution was made to every man according as God had, as he had need. Verse 36, and Joseph, who by interpretation was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted, the son of consolation, a Levite of the county of Cyprus, had land, sold it, brought the money, and laid it at the apostles' feet. Now, they sold out everything they had. You know why? They believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not going through Acts 5, but the story in Acts chapter 5 is Ananias and Sapphira. They had some stuff. They sold it, and they kept back part of it. Peter said, Ananias, did you sell this land for so much? He said, I did. He said, why'd you lie to God? He said, you ain't lied to men. You lied to God. Fell over dead. His wife, the same thing. Come in, fell over dead. They were vain believers, beloved. Had they have believed the Lord, they'd have sold everything out, brought it all, and laid it down at the apostles' feet. Now, I want you to take, can you get three passages? Take Matthew 10, Matthew 15, Acts 26. Matthew 10, Matthew 15, Acts 26. Now, let's just believe in the book. I do. If I am dumb as I am, if I can believe it, you can too. You see, the first principle of understanding God's Word is believing it means what it says. Now, Matthew chapter 10, and then there are verse 1. And when he had called them him, his 12 disciples. And if you want to know what they are in Luke chapter 6, he calls them apostles. And when he called unto them his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits, cast them out to heal all manner of sicknesses and all manner of diseases. Any of y'all in here sick besides me? Well, listen, beloved, if you know I get downright upset with Benny Hinn. Well, I won't say what I can do. But you know, I watch him sometimes, and he's supposed to be healing these people, and then I turn the channel and there's them little old babies and young kids up there, St. Jude's, are begging for people to send donations up there so they can find a cure for the cancer. Why don't these charlatans, why don't these crooks, why don't they get out of these tents, get out of these churches, and go heal these babies? I can understand old folks are dying. That don't bother me. But when I see a little child begging for life because he's just a toddler, that upsets me to my no end. And I don't mind you. I can't stand these crooks. And God Almighty is going to repay them to their face someday. You check the book of Jeremiah chapter 23. God said, I did not tell these people to do that. Now, there are people in this who had the power to do that in their dispensation, but not in this dispensation. Ephesians 1:13, so Paul could not heal anybody, beloved. When the Jew left the scene, Paul had no more healing power. I don't mean to get, I ain't mad at y'all. Man, you see, I know what Paul said, our warfare is not flesh and blood, it's against spiritual wickedness in high places. People don't understand the power that Satan has over people in their mind. If people would check this book, they'd get out of the pulpit and quit lying.
Right.
Just because a man stands behind the pulpit don't mean he's clean.
Amen.
May need a bath, a spiritual bath. Chapter 10, verse 2. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these. The first, Simon, who is called Peter, Andrew, his brother, James, the son of Zebedee, John, his brother, Philip, and Bartholomew, Thomas, Matthew, the publican, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Libius, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. These, now watch what he says. These 12 Jesus sent forth. Did Jesus send them?
Yes, sir.
Did he tell us in the book of John, whosoever receiveth whomsoever I send, receiveth me and him that sent me? Well, did Jesus Christ send these 12?
Yes, sir.
Well, let's see where he sent them. Verse 5, these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them. He didn't suggest. He commanded them, saying, go not in the way of the Gentiles. Any city of Samaritans, enter ye not, but go rather, where? To the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and I ain't a sheep, and I ain't a goat. You ain't a sheep, and you ain't a goat. Do y'all know who the lost sheep of the house of Israel is? Do you know how somebody asked you about this or calls you about this internet stuff that I'm doing here tonight and want to know where you can find the lost sheep at? Take them to Jeremiah chapter 50. Turn there. Hold what you got. Go to Jeremiah chapter 50. Now, this ain't hard to figure out. Jeremiah chapter 50. You want to know what God says? Ask him. He'll tell you. Now, he ain't going to verbally talk to you. I see some of these charlatans, they, thank you, Lord. The Lord just told me somebody got a new hip. I don't believe that. Jeremiah chapter 50, look at verse 17. Israel is a scattered sheep. Who is a scattered sheep? Are we Israel? In the church, the body of Christ, there is no Jew, the Gentile, bond, the free, male and the female. We're all one in Christ. I'm a member of His body, of His flesh and His bone, Paul told me in Ephesians. Now, come over, in case we missed it. Come over to verse, give me a minute. I don't even, well. Go to verse 20. In those days and in that time, the iniquity of Israel. Well, I know who he's talking to. He's talking to Israel, ain't he? Come to verse 6. Back up to Jeremiah 50, verse 6. My people, anytime, listen to me real closely. Anytime you see in the King James Bible, my people, it's a reference to Israel. It is not a reference to Gentiles. It is a reference to Israel. My people have been lost sheep. Is Israel a lost sheep? Got two verses said they are. Go to Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. Verse 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed the coast of Tyre and Sidon, and behold, a woman of Canaan came out the same coast, cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word, and the disciples came and sought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and the church, the body of Christ. No, now you didn't see church, the body of Christ in there, did you? Don't put it in there. God didn't do it. Don't put it in there. Who was Jesus Christ sent to? The lost sheep of the house of Israel. Who were the 12 apostles sent to? The lost sheep of the house of Israel. Well, somebody told me one time, well, that all changed after the resurrection. Y'all believe that? Go to John 21. Whole Acts 26. Go to John 21. This is after his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And Jesus has showed himself to some of the apostles and all. And come over to verse 15. So when they had dined, they ate some fish. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He said unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, Feed my lambs. Y'all know what a lamb is? It's a sheep. Verse 16, he said unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He said unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, Feed my sheep. Now, this is after the resurrection. It hasn't changed, beloved. He said unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, Feed my sheep. Who was Peter feeding in Acts 2? The lost sheep of the house of Israel, beloved. It's a new nation. God has taken the nation from Israel in Matthew chapter 21. He gave it to the little flock in Luke chapter 12. Now go to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Verse 1, the former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandment unto the apostles whom he had chosen. And I'll tell you again, you can find them in Luke chapter 6. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, You have heard of me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Not by the Holy Ghost, not of the Holy Ghost, but Jesus Christ is the baptizer, and he baptizes them with the Holy Ghost. There is no such term in the King James Bible, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And you don't want to pray for the fiery baptism like some of these characters say, because you know what fire do? Burn you up. Verse 6. When they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom to who? Israel. That's plain to see, beloved. Jesus Christ was sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. The 12 were sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. You can find the record in Matthew, Mark, Luke. Now, go to Luke chapter 24. Luke 24. I know you're holding Acts 26. We're going to get there in a minute, I promise you. Luke 24, unless a rapture takes place. And I wish it'd take place and y'all just do whatever you want to do with this tape or whatever you call this thing, because I'm gone. And I don't mean by no vehicle either.
Amen.
And I don't know about y'all, but I'm sick and tired of this world. It ain't getting any better. Revival my foot. These people that call on a revival ain't got the foggiest idea what a revival would be. You know what a revival would be? Meeting the Lord in the air. You're talking about a revival. Hallelujah. Now, in Luke 12, Jesus Christ has been resurrected, and he's meeting with the apostles. Verse 44, and he said to them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand all the scriptures. No, don't let me do that. There ain't no such thing as all in there. Understand what scriptures that he just told them about in the Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning him. He, there's nothing in the Old Testament about a body of believers called the body of Christ. You will not find it back there anywhere. You won't find no mention of it until the Apostle Paul is saved in Acts chapter 9. Verse 46, and he said to them, thus is it written, thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Were they to begin at Jerusalem? Let me show you something, a key to that. Go to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. Go back to Matthew chapter 10. Now, I know he sent the 12 apostles out to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now, in Matthew chapter 10, let's go to verse 20. For it's not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, the father to the child. The children shall raise up against their parents, cause them to be put to death. You shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. When they persecute you in this city, flee into another. Well, they're in Jerusalem. For verily I say unto you, you shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. Well, beloved, the Son of Man standing there talking to them. When are they going to go over to the other nations? After the tribulation. Go back to Luke chapter 24 and look at it. Verse 47. What are they preaching? Repentance. Repentance. For what? For forgiveness of sins? No, remission. Beloved, remission and forgiveness don't even spell the same way. They don't mean the same thing. Remission, forgiveness is gone. Remission is still there, but it's not active. It's in remission. I knew a lady years ago that had leukemia. Her leukemia was in remission. She told me and my wife, said if it ever gets active again, there ain't nothing they can do for me. It did after several years. It reactivated. It was not gone. It was in remission. It reactivated and she left this world. Remission and forgiveness ain't the same. You know who's the first one to preach forgiveness for your sins? All. We have forgiveness, Ephesians 1, through His blood. You know what most of your translations do with that? Leave out the blood. Leave out the blood. That's a bald-faced lie. Now, go to Acts 26. Now, I need to show you who your apostle is. I've showed you who he ain't. Now, I'm going to show you who he is. In Acts 26, Paul is giving an account to King Agrippa. What happened in Acts 9, I want you to start in verse 13 with me. This happened in Acts 9. You can go back and read Acts 9, and it'll show you what he's doing here. At midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. When we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me, saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? it is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise, stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of the things which thou hast seen and of the things in which I will appear unto thee. In other words, the Lord appeared to Saul in Acts 9. He said, I appeared unto thee for this purpose. He appeared unto him in the temple. He's on the road to Damascus in Acts 9. In Acts 18, he's in the temple. He sent Paul to Gentiles such as us that are not in the covenants of promise, and he wrote a letter to us in Ephesians. Study it. I'm not a child of Abraham. I'm an adopted son of Almighty God, and an adopted son cannot be denied. You know that? A natural born son can be booted out of the family, but an adopted son can't, because the papers on, I have an adopted son. I know what I'm saying. He cannot ever be denied because I signed legal papers to adopt him. God Almighty gave his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die for me, and he cannot deny me.
Amen.
He cannot deny me. Verse 16, But rise, stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of the things which thou hast seen and of the things in which I will appear unto thee. Now, the Lord appeared to the Apostle Paul through his angel and other means, but he didn't send him but two times. Acts 9 and Acts 20, excuse me, 18. Acts 18. He told him, get out of Jerusalem. They're not going to receive your word concerning me. He said, I'm going to send you far hence to the Gentiles. Well, he had already been going to Gentiles for years, beloved. Verse 17, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. You remember what you read in John? Whosoever receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me and him that sent me. Did Jesus Christ send the Apostle Paul? Well, who did he send him to? Thank you for asking. Go to Romans chapter 11 and Romans chapter 15. We'll start there. Romans chapter 11. Be ye followers of me, Paul said. Paul told them Corinthians, he said, though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have you not many fathers, for in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Well, he didn't forget them through the gospel of the kingdom. Paul could not be saved under the gospel of the kingdom. Paul was a blasphemer. And a blasphemer could not be saved under the gospel of the kingdom, beloved. In Romans chapter 11, look at verse 13. For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am a apostle of the Gentiles. No. The apostle of the Gentiles. Is Paul the apostle to the Gentiles?
Yes.
Was he sent by the Lord? He sure was. Look at Acts 15. Go to verse 8. Go to verse 8. Now I say that Jesus Christ, y'all in Romans, what did I tell y'all? Did I say Acts? Did I say Acts? Boy, I'll tell you, well, my mind's shot like the rest of my body. Go to Romans chapter 15. Man, my class in Mobile gets on there, and my daughter, she don't let me slide by nothing. Romans chapter 15, verse 8. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister. You know what the word a does? It allows for more ministers. You know what the word the did for Paul? He is the apostle. Not a apostle. He is the apostle. Jesus Christ is one of other apostles. Verse 8, Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. And don't worry about the next verse. We'll get into that someday maybe about these Gentiles that come to Israel here. Now, go to chapter 15, verse 16. that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. Now, go over to Titus and take Titus chapter 1. Might as well go ahead and take 2 Corinthians while you're at it. Titus chapter 1. 2 Corinthians. I apologize. I've done this in my class Tuesday night. I'll tell you, I got Corinthians on my brain for some reason. Them Corinthians is pushing on me. Go to 2 Timothy and Titus chapter 1. Man, if I had a brain, I'd be dangerous. Titus 1 and 2 Timothy chapter 1. We're starting Titus chapter 1. Verse 1. Paul is servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness and hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie. Y'all believe God can lie?
No,
y'all know what God told you in Numbers chapter 23, verse 19? God said, I'm not a man that I should lie, neither the son of man that I should repent. Hath I not said, and will I not make it good? Beloved, God cannot lie. God will not lie. God told you, if you would trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, He would save you and seal you until the day of redemption. And He can't lie to you. Verse 2. In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised when? Before the foundation of the world. Look at verse 2. But hath in due times manifested His word through preaching, which was committed unto me and the 12 apostles and the Lord Jesus Christ according to the commandment of God our Savior. Now you didn't read that in there, did you? I imagine there's some of them folks rolling in the floor watching this thing on internet. That ain't in there, is it? No. Look what he said, verse 3. But hath in due times manifested word through preaching, which is committed unto me. Who is the me?
Paul.
Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles. Be ye followers of me. And you know what he said? Mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine. You know why? They are enemies of the cross of Christ. In other words, if Jesus Christ could have saved you any other way, He did not have to die. But He had to die. He had no way to get back to God the Father without dying. And you can't get back there where He's at in this flesh. And you can't change what you are. I've tried for several years and it don't work. I find out I'm still in the flesh. And I get in the flesh. I'm probably in the flesh tonight, probably. And pinch and see if it's, yeah, it's still there. But you know what? I got a promise from God Almighty in Philippians. He's going to change my lowly body someday. Now, y'all just sit there and let me run right through that. All of y'all ought to jump up and holler. You know what Philippians says? He'll change our vile body. You know what your new translation says? Lowly body. Well, we're all lowly. No, we live in a vile body. But you know what? I have a treasure in here that's called a new creature in Christ. The new creature. And this new creature is just dying to get out of here. It's like a baby in a mom's womb. It come 9 months' time, that baby's just dying to get out of here. A kicking and a squirming and a jerking and a jarring, just dying to get out of there. And if they knowed what Job said, why died I not from the womb? Why didn't God just carry me from the womb to the grave and I'd have been at rest till thy wrath was done? We just don't understand what Job knew, did we? No. Where are y'all holding it? 2 Timothy chapter 1. Look at it. Verse 8. Be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner. Beloved, when did you ever become a prisoner for teaching the Word of God or preaching. Have you? I never have. Paul did. Paul, beloved, you've got to think about something. And I think about a farmer. I see this farmer, he goes out in the woods, and he sees this field out there. It's got briars and stickers and stumps and rocks and all kind of stuff in it. And he's looking at that field out there. He said, you know, I believe I'll buy that field. That looked like a good place to plant a garden. He's looking at that thing as a finished product. The same as God looks at me. He don't look at me like this is. He looks at me as His finished product. I'm being made conformable unto the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And someday, this vile body is going to take on a new body. And He's going to give me a body like unto the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know who the Lord Jesus Christ is? According to Hebrews chapter 1, He is the expressed image of God. And I'm going to take on that body someday. Ain't that wonderful?
Amen.
Ain't that wonderful? Look at verse 8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, nor me as prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. When have you ever been afflicted for preaching the gospel? I worked at a paper mill in Mobile, Alabama, 31 and a half years. I preached to a lot of people out there. Tried to share the Word of God rightly divided with them. Two people. Praise God for them two people. Two people that I know that saw the truth. I had one of them, at dinner time, I'd sit at my toolbox. I was a mechanic, and I'd sit at my toolbox and eat my dinner and study my Bible. This fellow, he drove a lift truck that I used to work on, and he'd come in there, and he'd say, what kind of Bible you got? I said, well, it ain't but one. I said, 1611 King James Bible. Well, he brought the NIV over there one day, and I showed him all the lies in it. And he said, I told him, I said, well, that thing's got lies in it. I said, God cannot lie. I said, He won't lie, but He can't lie. Because if He says something, it's going to happen. He said, well, I think I'll go give it to somebody. I said, wait a minute. I said, if it ain't no good for you, I said, it ain't no good for that other fellow. I said, there's a trash can right there. He throwed her in the trash can. Him and one other fellow out of 31 and a half years. And I had some good religious people that I worked with, and they couldn't see the truth. You know why? Satan has blinded people's eyes lest they see the light of the glorious gospel and be saved. Satan don't want people to see the truth. He's watered it down. He's lied about it. He's changed it. And I was reading in a... Well, I tell you what let's do. I got a minute or two left here. If they don't cut me off first, go to Proverbs, hold 2 Timothy, go to Proverbs 25. I want to show you something. I've been downgrading these other Bibles, and I'm going to show you why. And I'm going to show you in two places. And if you don't believe this, I feel sorry for you. I'll pray for you that the Holy Spirit convict you and open your eyes that you see a need for God's Word. Now, in Proverbs 25, verse 23. And I'm going to read this like the New King James says. Now, I'm going to probably misquote part of that out of the New King James because I did not want to memorize that mess. And it's a mess. The north wind brings forth rain. So doeth an angry countenance, a backbiting tongue. Now, what did that King James say? The north wind driveth away rain. Now, I don't know about y'all. When I went to school, when you drive something away, it's gone. When you do it this way, it's coming in. What does the north wind do? It drives it away, don't it? Well, how can God say in one book that it drives it away in another book, if they call the Holy Spirit, Holy Bible? How can they say it draws it in? I read one the other day, I was in a Bible bookstore, and I got all kind of Bible stuff in there. And I was in there purchasing an item, and I told the fellow about this here, and I told him, I said, Get you one of them Bibles over there and turn to Proverbs 25, 23. He brought me my item. He said, this is King James. I said, well, there ain't no other kind. And he said, what you mean? I said, well, all those got lies in them. He said, do what? This young fellow, manager of this place. And I told him, I said, get you one of them Bibles right there. I said, turn to Proverbs 25, 23 and read it to me. It said, the north wind brings forth rain. I said, get that King James right there and read what God said. He said, north wind drives. And he stopped. He said, this ain't the same. I said, no, that book's got lies in it. I picked up another book there in the I don't even know what kind of translation it was. I read it, and it said the north wind produces rain. Go to Proverbs. Excuse me. Go to Isaiah. I ain't got time to go no more to Proverbs. Go to Isaiah 7. Let me show you something. Most every one of your translations destroy this verse. And I was at a Baptist school in Mobile, Alabama. The principal was standing there. These little children are coming out. And I've been talking to her. They use the New King James at this Baptist school and church. And I've been talking to this principal about it. Why do y'all use this thing? It ain't God's word. Well, that's what they used when I got here. I said, you need to do something about this. And I told her about this verse right here. And I said, ask some of them kids. Oh, no, I can't do that. I said, well, I will. Now, I'm going to read you, and then I'm going to tell you what I asked these kids. Now, in Isaiah 7, verse 14, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, shall call his name Emmanuel. Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. You know what the New King James says? Curds. You know what you make out of curds? Cheese. You know what you make butter out of? Fat milk. Fat milk. Do y'all got any idea how they make non-fat cheese? Out of non-fat milk. Out of the curds. It ain't got no butter in it. Ain't got no fat in it. I asked this principal, I said, stop one of them kids, a third grade kid. I said, stop one of them kids and ask them if they know what curds is. She wouldn't do it. I said, stop one of them. I said, hey, I'm going to ask you a question. I said, do you know what curds is? No, sir. I said, do you know what butter is? Oh, yes, sir, I know what butter is. I stopped another one. Asked a little boy. I said, do you know what curds is? You see, they say this is a simpler, I can't understand this King James. I asked this little boy, I said, do you know what curds is? He said, no, sir, I sure don't. I said, do you know what butter is? Oh, yes, sir, I know what butter is. Well, now, who is right and who's wrong? I believe God Almighty is right, ain't he? God can't lie to me. He won't lie to me. Now, and that lady never would change her ground on that thing. I just finally said, like what Paul told me in Titus, man, it's a heretic out the first and the second admonition reject. Well, they sent us from the beginning. In other words, you know, people buy their words out of their mouth and what's in their heart. What's in their heart? What's in your heart tonight? Go back to 2 Timothy chapter 4 and my time is gone. Well, I could be here tonight now, but in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8, be not thou therefore ashamed of testimony of the Lord, nor me as prisoner, be thou partake of the affliction of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us, called us with a holy calling, not according to our works. Well, beloved, your works ain't got nothing to do with your salvation. Your salvation is secure in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, your works will follow you at the judgment seat of what sort it is. Paul said, I laid the foundation, another buildeth their own, and let every man take heed how he buildeth their own. And people are not taking heed to what they say in the name of God, and God Almighty chastises them in the book of Jeremiah 23, as I've already said before. Check it out and see what God thinks about a liar. God don't send people to lie. So if you listen to somebody that's trying to teach you the doctrine for the church, the body of Christ, anywhere other than Romans to Philemon. Now listen, I believe this whole Bible is inspired by God. He said it was, and every bit of it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness. Why? That the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Listen. Get you a good 1611 King James Bible. Get along with God Almighty. Don't worry about what they say about it. Just pay attention to what God says. And the first principle, believe God means what He said. If I don't understand it, that's my fault for not studying. But I have got to believe God means what He says. And I'm going to quote you a verse in Hebrews chapter 11, and I'm going to close. Verse 6. It is impossible to please Him. For if a man comes to God, he's got to believe that He is. Well, beloved, I ain't never seen God. You know where I see God at? In this book right here. And if I find a book with a lie in it, that ain't my God. I told that young man at that place, I said, would you worship a God that would lie to you? And he's got a storehouse full of lies. A storehouse full of. I appreciate your patience and kindness in asking me to be here and letting me volunteer to come, really. I called and asked if I could come. But I appreciate any time you need me to call me. If I'm able, I'll come. If you will, join me in prayer, please. Father, we thank You for the night. We thank You for the words that we have here before us that we can put our faith and trust in them. We thank You for loving us and dying for us and sending Your Son to become what we are, that You put all of our sins upon Him, and that You have made us the righteousness of God in Him. And Father, we if there's someone here or someone listening by internet that have never trusted You as a personal Savior, that the Holy Spirit will convict these people and give them no rest until they get this thing straight in their heart and in their mind. These things we pray in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.